Hello, Substack. This is our first paid subscriber live stream, and right away I want to apologize to people if there are some technical errors today. I am completely new to this live stream format. I tried my first live stream with founding members last week. It went pretty well, but it was pretty exhausting. And so I will try to pace myself better this time. So let me first present the agenda for our live stream today. What you will see is that I will continuously make changes to every live stream because I really want to produce the best content for you guys. Okay, so let's go over some of the let's go over the agenda. The first thing I would like to do is thank every one of you for supporting me on Substack. You guys are fantastic. You guys make what I do possible. So I'm really excited in that I have left the school. To be honest with you, I was not very happy there. I wasn't very happy with the students. I didn't feel as though I was reaching my full potential. And so I've left the school and now I'm embarking on a new adventure. And without you guys, this wouldn't have been possible. So let me go over today some of my planning for the next couple of years. The first news I have is that I am planning to transition out of China. I've been here on and off for about 30 years now, and I am sick and tired of this place. I've tried very hard for the past 30 years to promote education reform, and this place is hopeless. And as time goes by, I will be more forthright. I will be more direct about my experience in China. I might even do a series of lectures on my experience in China. And I am going to share a lot of anecdotes that I have. I have a lot of interesting stories, but right now, I just want to announce that I am planning to leave China. I have three kids, as you all know. And so it's going to be very hard for me to switch to a new location. My wife is okay with leaving China. She's Chinese. Her family is here, but she is very supportive and she likes the idea of leaving China to establish a better future for her kids. But she wants the move to be stable and to be permanent. So rather than just hop around the world, for the next 20, 30 years, she wants us to figure out a place we want to be for the next 20 to 30 years and then stick to it. So I'll probably need another year in order to figure out where I want to go. So I'll be doing a lot of traveling this next year. In August, I will be back in North America and I'll be visiting different cities, Toronto, Los Angeles, New York, Austin. Hopefully, the Americans will let me into the United States. I've been following the World Cup very closely. Basically, the fact that they've been very rude and hostile towards foreigners at customs. So hopefully, the situation will clear up by August. But what I'm hoping to do when I'm trying, when I move back to North America, when I transition to North America is do some meetups with paid subscribers, with you guys. So the first meetup will be in Toronto. And if any of you have like a location where we can rent or meet up, please message me on Substack. It'd be great if it was free, but you know, if it's a private location as well, I'd be happy to do that as well. But, you know, first thing I want to do is meet you guys when I'm back in Toronto and hopefully meet you guys when I'm in New York, Los Angeles, Austin, Nashville, as well. So, I'll be doing a lot of traveling next year. My first stop will be North America. So my planning for this new year is to continue to teach on YouTube because I love what I do on YouTube. I love teaching you guys. I love having this community. And I want to be doing this, honestly, for the next 50 years, okay? I'm 49, turning 50 next month. It's my birthday next month. I'll be 50 years old, but I want to keep on teaching for the next 50 years. So some really exciting courses I want to talk about for the next few months, okay? So on Monday, this is 2 days from now, I will be teaching the Divine Comedy, Dante. You guys are going to love it. It's a great class, and it's a university seminar. So I'll be teaching it at the Yale Beijing Center. It's located in Beijing. They've been kind enough to host me. And there are quite a few students who just come from overseas just to attend this seminar. So you can imagine these are pretty enthusiastic, pretty ambitious students. My ambition is to train the next generation of Dante scholars. Okay, that really is my ambition. This Yale Beijing Center, it's a two-week seminar. I will start there, but then I will transition to other places. My dream is to hopefully one day teach Dante in Florence, Italy. That'd be something. I mean, I would love to teach Dante in Florence. So that's going to happen 2 days from now, starting on Monday. And it'll be live stream 4 hours a day for the next 2 weeks. And you guys are going to love it. I promise you, it's going to be a great course. It's going to be life-changing. You've seen me do lectures, and you know I'm pretty good at lectures. But when I do seminars, when I am dealing with like really top-notch students, I am godly, okay? Like you guys will be really impressed by the way I manage seminars. Okay, so that's Dante coming up on Monday. I have three new courses that I'm prepping. I don't know when I'll be teaching them, but I'm prepping them, and I'll figure out the locations to teach them, okay? But the first course, which you guys are going to love, and this may be my best course yet, but I will be teaching the occult, okay? These occult esoteric traditions. I've been studying some Aleister Crowley sex magic. I've been studying Kabbalah. And I think you guys are going to love this course in the occult. I need to work really hard to make it good. And I figure out where to teach it yet and to who to teach it yet. But I'll keep you informed. Another course I want to teach is the idea of future school. So basically, teaching education reform, curriculum reform, and discussing my plans on how to build a school community. So I mentioned this quite a few times before, but it's not my ambition to be a YouTuber. I don't want to be an influencer. I'm an educator. I want to have real life impact. So that means that I want to build schools around the world. And so with this course, what I'm going to do is I'm going to share the blueprint for what the school community would look like, the ideal school. I have three young kids, so my ambition is to build a school for them in which they can grow up and be happy. Okay, that's the second course I'll be teaching. The third course I'll be teaching later on is close reading. So what I'll be doing is I'll be taking certain passages from Orwell, from Shakespeare, and I'll be showing you how to read it very critically, very closely. And that course, I think, will be very popular as well. But the occult course is something to really look forward to. I'm really excited about teaching it already. Okay, so, and Donnie's coming up on Monday, and you guys will really enjoy that. As I mentioned, I will be visiting different countries over the course of this year. So I'll be spending a lot of time in the United States, hopefully, in August, September. And then I would like to go to Japan to spend some time. I've actually never been to Japan. I talk a lot about Japan. And I think that Japan really is a unique society, but I've never been to Japan. I would love to go visit Japan and learn about it some more. I'm a huge fan of Japanese culture. You know, so when I was younger, when I was a teenager, I played a game called Final Fantasy VII. And I'm sure you guys have played it as well. But I think it's a literary artwork. I think that there's so much depth and nuance and subtlety to Final Fantasy VII. And you know what? the people who devised it, the people who scripted it out, Final Fantasy VII, they knew the Kabbalah, right? So one of the villains, the main villain in Final Fantasy VII, his Sephiroth, that comes from the Kabbalah. The idea that Sephiroth is trying to reunite with his mother, Genova, that's Kabbalah. So what I would love to do in Japan one of these days is teach about Japanese culture, like Japanese anime, the literary beauty of Chinese, of like Japanese video games, such as Final Fantasy VII, Japanese cinema, Akira Kurosawa, who I think is one of the greatest film directors of all time. I will eventually get to reading One Piece. I know a lot of you have recommended that manga to me. I will read it. I promise you I will read it. And I will hopefully share my thoughts on it. You guys have recommended it to me, and I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. I'm sure it's going to be brilliant. But I just haven't gone around to reading it. Malaysia is also a place where I like to visit. You know, the last time I was on stream with Sneeko, we mentioned this. We mentioned the possibility of going together to visit Malaysia. He was there a couple months ago, and he loved it. You know, he met with the prime minister. He met with the crown prince, and he loved Malaysia. And so I would love to go back with him and discuss the possibility of starting a school there, of, you know, getting to know the education system there, and hopefully promote education reform in Malaysia. Germany is a place I've never been to, and I would love to visit. I think very highly of the Germans. So the funny thing is, I first blew up last April. And the reason why was a lecture on German culture. And some of you guys might have seen the lecture. It's called German Will to Power. And it's going, and I went in discuss what made German culture so great. Back in the 19th century, in the early 20th century, Germany was at the forefront of science, culture, philosophy. It was really the greatest civilization at that time. And there were a lot of Germans who watched the lecture and thought very highly of it. And that was my first real viral video. And then, of course, what happened a couple months later is that the Americans and the Israelis bomb Iran, and that's when I start to blow up. So I would love to visit Germany. I know I have a lot of German fans, and I'm a big fan of Germany, and I would love to spend a couple months there and do some lectures, get to know the German people, and I would love to discuss the possibility in Germany, basically using Germany as a base to promote my education ideals. Russia is another country that I would love to visit very soon. I've been in contact with Professor Alexander Dugin, who I'm a big fan of. I think his book, The Foundation of Geopolitics, is one of the most important geopolitical books ever written. I think it's up there with Thucydides, The Peloponnesian War. So I will be speaking, I'll be doing a video conference lecture at a panel organized by Professor Dugin later this month. And I've never been to Russia. But I would love to visit Russia and really learn about the Orthodox Church, really learn about their mystical occult traditions, because I think that there are some certain secrets to Russia that are extremely profound. Okay, so that's my plan for the next year. I want to visit all five of these countries over the course of the next year. And again, I would love to set up some meetups with you guys as I visit these places. So if you have a certain location that can host us, please get in touch with me and we'll set up a time and a place. As you can imagine, I'm pretty famous right now. Avoid public lectures. I don't want to announce where I'll be. I think there are some safety issues, but also I don't want all this attention. It surprised me how famous I've become over the course of this year. So I'm based in Beijing, and no one knows who I am. No one cares who I am. If I were white, they would care, but I'm not white, so they don't really care. But I was in Hong Kong a couple months back to do the Jack Neil interview. Jack Neil flew in from Los Angeles, and we met up in Hong Kong. And then I was in London last month to do the Stephen Bartlett, Diary CEO interview. And people recognize me. And not only they recognize me. So when I walk, I walk really, really fast. I'm just naturally a fast walker. And on the streets of Hong Kong, people would recognize me from across the street, and they run over, like they would sprint to take a picture with me. So they were able to recognize me from far away. And the moment they recognized me, they were down and take a picture of me for the love and so that was really moving. It's something that I'll remember for the rest of my life. So thank you guys for all your love. And as a person, I make you this promise that I'm never going to become content. I'm not going to just rest my laurels. I'm not that sort of person. I'm very ambitious. I love learning. I love teaching. And as I go on, I'm just going to provide better and better content for you guys. You know, that's where my focus is on. A lot of people have suggestions to me to start a media company, right? Basically incorporate myself. I don't want to do that because I don't want to get bogged down by management. I don't want to get bogged down by profit making, by money. I just want to focus on creating great content for you guys. And again, I want to be doing this for the next 50 years, okay? And that's my promise to you. I also want to use this platform to start an education movement around the world. Game theory, predictive history, the great books. I want to promote all these ideas, and I would love to partner with people to promote these ideas. I'm not interested in the money. I'm just interested in sharing my love for learning. Okay, so done that. What I'm doing now is I'm going to take a few minutes just to read some of your comments, okay? And if there's some questions, I'll answer them directly. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to move on and discuss current events. So what I've done is this past week, I've looked at certain events that I think are interesting. I'm going to share a PowerPoint with you and go over why I think it's interesting. And again, in the comment section, you can ask a question or leave a comment. And if it's interesting, I will point it out. I'm new to this live stream thing. So this, looking at chat while talking at the same time, I can't really do that. I'm really impressed by people who can do that. Okay. So I apologize if I skip over your question or comment. It's not intentional. I'm a very open person. It's just I'm often rushed. Okay. So this is a really interesting comment from Joseph Arad. Most entertainers, directors, and producers do know Kabbalah. I completely agree. I think one major reason why Jews dominate in literature, in publishing, in media, in Hollywood, is their Kabbalah background. Kabbalah is such an interesting way to understand your place in the world. And from the Kabbalah, you can generate so many interesting ideas. So I think, it's this Bible, this Kabbalah, this tradition of the Jews that turned them into such great storytellers. And I mean, quite honestly, as a group of people, the Jews really are impressive creatively. Okay. And I think a lot of it has to do with the Kabbalah. And that's why I'm so interested in promoting the occult. That's why I want everyone to learn the Kabbalah, because basically every one of us can be creative as well. And once you have the proper education, when you have the proper techniques and teaching, your creativity can be unleashed Okay. So basically my goal is the goal, the dream of every great prophet before us, whether it's Homer or Dante or Jesus or Plato. And it's really to democratize education, to democratize learning and creativity, to make sure that everyone, regardless of where you are, regardless of who you have the capacity to be creative, because that's what makes us truly human. Okay. So thanks so much to Joseph for that comment. Absolutely. The Kabbalah is so important. Everyone should be learning Kabbalah. Cohen Singh says, you should start selling Merck. I should do that. That's a good idea. That's something I could do. I don't do sponsors. I don't do, ad reads. But I could consider selling Merck. You're absolutely right. John Barry says, have you checked out The Legend of Zelda? You know, this is interesting. I've never really studied The Legend of Zelda. I mean, I know the game. But the mythology behind it is something that I should look deep into. Seven Parajavi says, the professor reading One Piece is a dream come true. Yeah, I'll read it. I promise you I'll read it. It's just like, as you know, it's like a huge, opus. It's a huge piece of work. And I really, really want to, get deep into it, but I would need a lot of time. A lot of people are talking about One Piece. Also, Neo Genesis Evangelion, 1995. That's a great series, by the way. I watched it a long time ago, but this is like before I knew the Kabbalah. This is before I knew the occult. It'd be interesting for me to watch it. So when I visit Japan, what I'm going to do is I'm going to binge on this sort of stuff. I'm going to binge on this anime culture and then try to do lectures on it. My connection is bad. Yes, I know. I'm in China. The connection will always be bad. It's something that has frustrated me for a long, long time. That's why I'm really excited to leave this country. Roots and Ripples ask, I'm surprised they let you in London since the UK is banning everyone critical of Israel. You're absolutely right. So, you know, they did revoke the ETAs, the Electronic Travel Authorization for both Cenk Uygur and Hassan Piker. But I think they're much more critical than I am. I try not to name names. I try not to be too provocative. But still, I still get in a lot of trouble. I mean, people still email me and call me any sunlight. Even though I'm very careful about my language. Karina says, St. Petersburg. I want to visit both Moscow and St. Petersburg. These are great cities. Christy asks, what specific reasons do you have to leave China? What do you think of moving to New Zealand? Look, I would love to visit New Zealand, a lot of people are moving there. So I'm Peter Thiel has a bunker in New Zealand. So I just think like everyone's moving there, then it's probably not a good idea to move there. If I'm really interested in maybe finding a secure place that's safe from nuclear war, it'll probably be Chile, actually. Okay. Okay, this is a good question. Patch asks, after having you study in eschatology, philosophy, and the prophets, what do you think best explains the existence of innocent suffering, such as a baby being born with a developing cancer? This is a great idea and something that I really don't think much about. So why is it like, you know, your child, you have leukemia, and then at 7 or 8, you die. And it's like, how do you explain this idea? You know, you're born, you die. So from an occult perspective, the explanation is we all came here for a particular reason. We have a purpose, a telos, as Aristotle says, and this telos will define our life. And just because we have a telos doesn't mean we'll have to achieve it. Because what happens often is that the moment we arrive, we are bombarded by information that blinds us from our telos. We call this school, right? You go to school in order to basically unravel your soul, to lose your soul, basically. So just because you have this telos, just because you have this purpose, doesn't mean you will achieve it. But it doesn't really matter because you will always reincarnate, right? Your soul is eternal. It's infinite. This process will keep on going. A samsara cycle will keep on going. So there is randomness built into the universe. And there's randomness because there's free will, right? And so this sort of thing happens. But the thing to remember is that just because you have leukemia and you die, I mean, it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of the universe. But this is a question I need to think a lot more about. And I'll discuss more about this when I discuss Dante starting on Monday. Joseph asks, can you compare Sufism and Kabbalah in a class? I will. Sufism is something that I've always been very interested in. And I think that Sufism would predate Kabbalah, if I'm correct. I think that what Kabbalah is doing is, it's basically taking all these esoteric traditions from around the world, including Egyptian Hermeticism, including Sufism, including Gnosticism, and applying it to the Bible, trying to explain the Bible through the lens of these mystics. So I assume there'll be a lot of similarities. Can you do a series on Ottoman Empire, please? Yeah, you know, I would also love to visit Turkey. You know, a week ago, I had a live stream with a politician from Turkey. It went really well. So I would love to go visit Turkey at some point and learn more about Turkey. Right now, I don't think Turkey is that important in geopolitics. I don't pay enough attention to Turkey, and that's probably my problem. I have this bias towards the United States, Russia, Iran, and Israel. But Turkey would be a very interesting geopolitical player over the next 5-10 years. Katana asks, do you still think a grand invasion is coming? I definitely think a grand invasion is coming. There's no other way they can continue this war. So, like, I don't think a grand invasion is strategically that smart. It's pretty stupid. But in war, you have to think about economics. You have to think about how to win this war as cheaply as possible. And honestly, the Americans and the Israelis, the way they've been fighting this war, it's just retarded. You can't win a war from the air. It's just a waste of resources, right? You've got these $100 million planes, dropping bombs on these mountains. They're not really doing anything. And when these planes shuts down, you're kind of screwed. So if you're going to fight a war, you're going to have to use a ground invasion. It's impossible to win a war without ground forces, even though it's not politically popular. Okay. Okay. AO asked a question. Okay, so Greater Israel Project, they want to achieve it, but how do you reconcile this with the demographic reality? The fact of the matter is that there aren't that many Israeli Jews in the world. There's like 7, 8, 9 million of them. Okay, well, according to the eschatology, according to Kabbalah, they don't need that many Jews. The Jews need to be obedient to God, and they need to be united. That's what matters. Because the reason why is you can enslave everyone else, right? You can bring in like 100 million Hindus and have them work as your slaves. You can microchip them and have them become your robots. That is a plan. Like, just go into the relationship between Israel and India and what the agreements are. What's been happening is that India has been exporting a lot of labor to Israel to replace that lost Palestinian labor, right? So imagine a situation where you have, you know, 10 million Israelis as the priest warrior class, and then you have like 100 million Indians as the peasant class, as the serf class, and they're all controlled by artificial intelligence. That would work. I'm not saying they will achieve it, but I'm saying like that is a possible solution to this problem. Again, they don't need that many people. Go back to the British Empire. Go back to the Roman Empire. There were not that many people, but they were able to basically enslave the populations around them in order to achieve their imperial ambitions. Love is Love says, will you write a book? Yes, I will definitely write a book at some point. So the book will probably be on the conflict between Russia and the United States. This I think is going to be the conflict that's going to define humanity for the next 20 years. But I'm still thinking about it. I could write a book. It's not that hard. It's just like I want to write a good book, and that's hard to do. Can you give one detailed example of how secret society commands and controls their agents, such as Trump? Sometimes even when the interests are not aligned, how does secret society work? Yeah, I think that this is a really interesting question. And I think that a lot of control, it's subtle, it's nuanced, right? So it's really about placing people around someone in order to reinforce certain messages, right? So who are certain people that could control Trump? Well, you have Howard Lutnick. You have people like Susie Wiles. But also, like, what people don't appreciate is that Trump watches a lot of Fox News. He watches 3 hours of Fox News every evening. And he's religious about it, right? And he talks to Sean Hannity every single day on the phone. So I assume that's how they really influence him. They have, you know, this programming where he's watching Fox News, and on Fox News he's being given an agenda, and then there are people around him who are whispering in his ear. Okay, so he's being watched, he's being monitored, and a lot of ideas are being whispered to him. You never ever want to order someone about, because that person is going to get angry and he's going to rebel. You always want to nudge or just offer advice and make that person think it's his idea, okay? So Trump, everything that Trump does, he thinks it's him doing it. So the sort of mind control that they use, it's a lot more nuanced than people appreciate. Okay. All right, guys. These are great questions, but I'm gonna have to move on, okay? Because otherwise we'll be here like all night, okay? I apologize, you know, I apologize. So what I'm doing now, okay, is I'm going to go over some recent events and explain to you my thinking about these recent events, okay? So let's move on. Okay, so first thing I want to mention is, let me get my slide up, okay? So first thing I want to mention is this. I hope you guys are able to see it, but Candace Owens, okay? So I'm very proud of this, because last week, in my founder member live stream, and some of you may will remember this, we discussed Candace Owens, and we discussed why she's going to Russia. And my theory of the case is, like, Candace Owens is being supported by Catholic Church, and she's going to Russia in order to create a reconciliation between the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church. And guess what? That's exactly what she said. She comes back from Russia, and she says that she and her husband, George Farmer, her husband is named George Farmer, a really smart guy, by the way, and they're going to apply for a long-term visa so that they can visit Russia twice a year. And she's also going to bring some young Catholics to Russia. It's time to repair the system. Wow. Okay. So I'm very proud of this. I got exactly right. And I think that Candace Owens is just going to be a much more important, player in the geopolitical scene. I think she's a great bridge builder between America and Russia. Okay. Something else that I want to bring up is this. So I want to apologize to the people of Albania, because in my live stream from last week, I said that the protests were not organic. I said that it was most likely the protests were being funded by a George Soros network of NGOs. And some of you got in touch and said, I don't really understand the situation. You're absolutely right, okay? Obviously, the people of Albania are very angry that their land is being stolen from them. A lot of Albanians are angry that their love of nature is being destroyed by Jared Kushner's ambitions. And we're seeing these mass protests all around Albania to protest this development project on Sazan Island, which will destroy a lot of conservation areas in Albania. And I'm really excited to see that there are at least 150,000 protesters against this, who are demanding the Prime Minister's resignation. I think this is fantastic. I think this is giving hope to humanity. But at the same time, I also think that it is very, very unlikely that they will win in the end. I think the Zionists are much too interested in Sazan Island. It is much too strategic. It's a very important trade hub, a pivot. So they will not let this go. So, and the Prime Minister himself has said that, you know what, he's going to make sure that this deal goes through. So Candace Owens has been talking about this happening in Francis for quite some time now. And there's some people who respond and says, it's not the Francis, it's the Jews, okay? I think this is interesting because if you know the 17 Francis, and I've taught about the 17 Francis, their main strategy to survive, to promote their interest, is to hide behind Jews. So if someone talks about the 17 Francis, what the 17 Francis automatically say is, it's not us, it's the Jews, man. Focus on the Jews. Be anti-Semitic, right? So it's almost the 17 Francis like to promote anti-Semitism in order to hide, in order to disguise themselves, okay? All right, so someone asked for a full screen. Okay, so again, I'm new to this. Let me figure out how this works, okay? So what do I want to do? Yeah, I want to play this, right? Even current slide, okay. All right, next news. So 3 days ago, it seemed as though the war would escalate. It would just resume. And so what happened was that an American Apache helicopter was down in the Strait of Hormuz. By the way, there's confusion as to how it was down. There are some who speculate it was Israel. It's almost like the Gulf of Tonkin incident. So it was a false flag in order to escalate the war. And then the Americans went and bombed two reservoirs in Iran, and the Iranians struck back and attacked the GCC nations as well as Israel. But then yesterday we're starting to see news that they're going to come to an agreement, and it's entirely possible by this weekend they'll come to and they'll sign an MOU. And you know what? I honestly would not be surprised if they sign an MOU. I wouldn't be. It's just like, it's just a repeat of Gaza, where they sign these peace treaties, but it's almost impossible to maintain. And the entire point of signing these peace treaties and then reneging on them is just to exhaust popular opinion. I mean, like, the war was escalating in a couple of days ago, and people just lost interest because they're just exhausted by all this. People want to tune out. And I completely understand. I also want to tune out. A lot of these agreements, the Americans cannot possibly agree to. The main source of contention, the area in which they cannot possibly agree to, is the peace treaty expanding to all, to include all the proxies, right? So if there's peace between the United States and Iran, there also has to be peace in Lebanon and Gaza as well. And there's no way the Israelis would agree to such a thing, okay? So yeah, they might send an MOU, but the MOU will not last. Glenn Deason tweeted out that U.S. attacked two water reservoirs in Iran. What this is important is that as time goes on, the nature of the war is going to change, okay? So what the United States and Israel are going to do is start targeting critical civilian infrastructure, such as power plants, such as bridges, such as railways, such as water reservoirs. And the reason why is pure economics, where you're running out of munitions, you're running out of weapons, so you need a bigger bang for the buck. And that means targeting critical civilian infrastructure to inflict as much pain as possible on your opponent. You insist on like blowing up mountains, you're going to lose this war really, really quickly, okay? So as this war progresses, I assure you that the Americans will focus on targeting civilian infrastructure because that you're trying to inflict as much pain as possible on the civilian population in order to force a political settlement, okay? Some other news that I've been watching is the fact that the AI bubble seems it's about to burst. I've never really understood the AI bubble. I thought that it was always a bubble and they can't possibly generate any profit. And we're seeing a ridiculous situation where SoftBank is trying to borrow money from banks based on its stock. It makes absolutely no sense. All you're really doing is you are maxing one credit card in order to pay off the interest of another credit card. Okay. And it's almost impossible to keep this thing going. To show you how ridiculous the bubble right now is, NVIDIA is now worth more than India. My recollection is that NVIDIA doesn't even have manufacturing. It doesn't even manufacture chips, right? It doesn't have physical plants. It's a design company. It designs chips. Another piece of news is that Elon Musk has become the world's first trillionaire. This goes to show you how really messed up the market is. Like the money allocation, financial allocation no longer makes any sense. How is SpaceX worth more than Meta? Why is SpaceX worth $2 trillion? I don't understand this. Let's get to the moon first, guys. I mean, like, how is SpaceX going to generate money? I mean, like, we still haven't gotten to the moon. Like, you know? And I'll be honest with you, I don't think we'll ever get to the moon. I know the Americans and the Chinese are trying to get to the moon by 2030. My bet is they're not going to get there. This is Kevin Hsu. I just noticed on X Twitter. Look. Money is not worth anything anymore. In 1995, $1 million was a lot of money. Today, it's nothing. Another thing that I've been watching is how this war is going to change the global economy. Okay, so Singapore is one of the wealthiest nations in the world, and why it's wealthy is that it occupies a pivotal position in the semiconductor supply chain, but. In a time of war, in a time of decreasing global chain of global trade, a place like Singapore is completely utterly screwed. Okay, Singapore is a nexus of global trade. If the global trade is declining, Singapore is screwed. Another place that's screwed is probably Ireland, right? I mean, like Ireland is based entirely on money laundering, basically. Like these corporations, like Apple, they set up shop in Ireland in order to evade taxes. So in a time of deglobalization, how do these nations fare? Okay. So I'll stop here and I'll look at comments in order to figure out what you guys think. Okay. So me says, okay. So he says, I looked at the prospectus of SpaceX. They see their biggest market as AI and data centers, not their space launchers and satellites. That's just weird. You're absolutely right. So the idea is that they're going to shoot data centers up into space and manage it on behalf of these corporations. Why would that make any sense? Why would that be profitable? I don't understand that. So Philip says, you call Kenneth Mark Carney the champion of foreign capital. Yeah, he works for the City of London. I mean, he works for transnational capital. He seemed to pivot recently promoting Fortress of America. What do you think of Canada's options are? We've been making a video on this. So Mark Carney, his job is to protect the interests of transnational capital, right? And Canada, it's a money laundering operation, a resource colony for transnational capital. So, I mean, Mark Carney is the sort of person who would want to keep his options open, right? He's going to play, he's going to have different options. He wants to become closer to the Europeans, but he also wants to maintain good relations with America. But ultimately, in the long term, Canada's real option is basically to break up and be absorbed into the United States. First, Alberta will go, and then maybe the Americans will want the Western provinces, British Columbia, Saskatchewan, Alberta, just to link up with Alaska. But why would the Americans want Ontario? Ontario might be left alone. And then America will take everyone else. Harry Huang says, did you know that the Japanese government funds Korean cults? I would be surprised. I mean, if you were an intelligence agency, what's the best way to exert control overseas? It's through cults, right? So if you go into the history of the Mormons and Scientologists, they were all CIA cutouts. Why? Because these were people who were already programmed, and these were people who were good at subverting others overseas, right? So if you wanted to basically blackmail a politician, you just had a Scientologist go and sleep with that person and program that person. Okay, so cults are a great way to infiltrate societies. So Japanese government funding Korean cults is probably the most cost-effective way to gather intelligence in Korea. Okay, so it makes perfect sense. Wim Perez says, as a young entrepreneur, what should we be focusing on in America? Should we plan to move somewhere else? Okay, so I'm not actually a fan of migration. I know that a lot of people are frustrated by the situation in America, and you want to go somewhere else. But if you think about it, in America, in the United States at least, you have a community. You know the language, you know the culture. And wouldn't it be better for you to build a community that shares your politics, that shares your values? I think if you really want to change the world, you're going to have to work and change the people around you. Just going somewhere else, I think it creates more problems than it solves. Now, having said that, I am moving out of China, and I'm looking for a new place to set up shop. And so it may seem hypocritical for me to say, you know what, you should just stay where you are and change the people around you. And I completely understand that sentiment. But, you know, I built a platform in which I can be international, in which I have a global audience. So now I have the luxury and the freedom to be anywhere I want. And also, my ambition is to have impact locally, right? So when I go to a new place, my question isn't how I benefit from being here. My question is, is it possible for me to have maximal impact on the local community? Okay. So, you know, this is something that I think we should discuss more in the future, like where to go to. I think in the future, if we are really having an impact, it's really about setting up a community, and being almost selfless, in doing this. Fernando says, how does SpaceX make money at all? I assume how SpaceX makes money is the same way that all of Elon Musk's companies make money. They get government subsidies, right? So rather than NASA shooting up a rocket into space, they give SpaceX a government contract in order to shoot up a rocket up into space. The question is that profitable? The question is, I mean, like, how much money can you generate doing that? Yeah. Chris asked about the baby boomers. What are the elite in China doing to prepare for the global collapse? Okay. I know this is going to sound weird, but I don't think they're capable of imagining collapse. I think they're primarily focused on defeating other elites, on maintaining their position in power. I think if they actually had foresight, I think if they actually could anticipate their own demise, they wouldn't be so arrogant, they wouldn't be so incompetent, they wouldn't be so stupid. But having said that, there are certain members of the elite who do recognize that that collapse is possible, and that's why they're building up these bunkers. The question, though, is, you know, their power derives from the fact that they have status in our world. The world changes. Will their status remain? Meaning, will their bodyguards, will their pilots, will their cooks still listen to them if the world is collapsing? I mean, if you're like a really strong guy who has leadership potential, aren't you better off just killing these guys and assuming leadership for yourself? I don't know. Maybe the people around them are really loyal to them. But I don't think the elite have really thought this through. Okay. All right. So I'm really bad at this, guys. I apologize. It's so many comments. I apologize. Okay, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna continue my sharing, and hopefully we'll keep on going. Okay, so the movie Disclosure Day just came out yesterday, and for the longest time I thought that this was part of a psyop in order to create a fake alien invasion. But the reality is that this movie really, really sucks, man. It's not even worth watching. It's really a stupid movie. And so here's my problem, okay? Let's assume that this is a psyop. Let's assume that they want to acclimatize people to aliens, make people sympathetic towards aliens. Why wouldn't you hire some good writers to write the script? I'm sure there's some good writers who could come up with a interesting story. The problem is that Steven Spielberg insists on maintaining creative control over the entire enterprise. So it's ego, okay? So here's my issue. Like, let's assume that if there's a conspiracy, let's assume that there's a psyop coming in place. The problem is that all these guys have huge egos and they all want to be in charge. So I don't think this conspiracy will go far. This movie was just terrible. There are these AI deepfakes about Trump meeting with the Nordics. Yeah, this isn't hard to do. But again, with these guys, it's so hard for them to coordinate because they're off these huge egos. Like, they all want to be the top dog. So I don't know if they'll be able to pull this off. They'll probably do it, but I also think it'll be a dumpster fire. Tulsi Gabbard is supposed to leave at the end of June. And what she's promised to do is release as many files as possible before she leaves. As I've said many times before, there is a civil war going on in Washington, D.C. between these different factions. And so she's released documents showing that the government has funded biolabs in Ukraine before. This is all part of the civil war. the thing about Tulsi leaving is that the people around Trump who are the most competent, who are the most loyal to his vision, they're all being sidelined or ousted one by one, right? So there's a rumor that RFK Jr. will leave the administration at some point. I think this is very credible. I think that RFK is someone also with a very strong personality, with his own opinions, with his own agenda. And Trump doesn't like that. I think that if you came in to his administration hoping to promote certain America First ideas, then he wants you gone, okay? So people like Thomas Massey, MTG, Lauren Bobbitt, he wants gone because they're too independently minded. Trump just wants everyone obedient to him. And so I think that this administration, this Trump administration, it's going to go into decline really, really rapidly. It's going to be one thumbs fire after another because all the competent people are forced out of the administration. This is Mario Nofo. He has a really strong team working under him, and they produce some really interesting news. Let's talk about China. So this is the KMT party chair, Zhang Liwen, is her Chinese name, and I've seen her talk. She's actually pretty charismatic. She's pretty engaging. I think she'll become eventually the next president of Taiwan, and she's very interested in reconciling differences between China and Taiwan. And she's also she comes from a political family, right? So she was basically groomed from early age to assume power, and she represents very right wing nationalists in Taiwan who want to see a greater China, who want to see a reconciliation between China and Taiwan, but they also want the Chinese diaspora to be more dominant in their nations. And so this is Zhang Liwen saying at a meeting in America, listen, if the Jewish people can have so much influence over America, why can't we Chinese do it? Well, I mean, the major difference, of course, is that Jews actually like each other and the Chinese don't like each other. That's why. The Chinese have absolutely no influence at all in America. This is Bill Bishop. I've been following his work for a long time. He's very good when it comes to China. And basically, there's been a lot of reporting that the economy really sucks in China. I live in China. I work in China. I'm telling you, the economy really, really sucks right now. I can't go into too much detail on this live stream, but I will do so in future live streams. But we've reached a point where the government is not even allowing reporters to discuss the economic situation in China. That's how bad it's gotten. So one really important piece of news is that President Xi of China has visited North Korea. And the last time he visited was actually in 2019. So why did he go? Well, because of Japan, okay? So let me explain what's going on, okay? And again, this is just my analysis. I could be right, I could be wrong, okay? But I'll provide you my analysis. But the idea is this. The idea is that Japan is remilitarizing. Why is Japan remilitarizing? Because America wants to retreat from Asia Pacific. It doesn't want to be saddled with all these security burdens, right? So now Japan is forced to remilitarize in order to secure its economy, okay? So that's the idea here. Actually, sorry, let me make this bigger, okay? All right. So China is very angry about this because they know what a remilitarized Japan means, okay? It basically means that Japan will be much more aggressive and Japan will challenge China in the South China Sea. And look, if you know anything about the Chinese and Japanese militaries, you know that Japan has the best blue water navy in East Asia, okay? Japan does not, China does not compare to Japan. Also, from a game theory perspective, let's just assume that you're China and you're really concerned about remilitarizing Japan. What are your options? We have two options. The first option is to confront Japan head on, okay, to be more aggressive. But if you were to do that, then all of Southeast Asia, including the Philippines, including Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, they would all, and also Korea, right? They would all rally behind Japan, and they would basically embargo China because they're so afraid of an aggressive China, okay? So you go against Japan, you're up against the entirety of Southeast Asia, and you basically play into Japan's hands because what Japan wants is our resources from Southeast Asia. So if you to respond to an aggressive China, what Japan can do is create the Japan Co prosperity spear, which we last saw before World War II, right? And so what would happen is that Japan would use the threat of China in order to basically colonize most of Southeast Asia. And China knows this, okay? So it's not in your best interest to challenge Japan. Also, if you're going to challenge Japan, there's a possibility Japan just humiliates your military as Japan did in previous wars, right? In which case, you could face domestic unrest. So from a geopolitical, economic, military perspective, it's not in your best interest to challenge Japan. So what's your solution? Your solution is North Korea, right? So think about what Israel is. Israel is a pit bull for the United States in order to create instability in the Middle East so that America can maintain hegemony in the Middle East. Well, it's possible that North Korea becomes a pit bull for China in order to balance out Japan, right? So North Korea is threatening South Korea and Japan with missile launches, and now Japan needs to beg China to come and intervene and balance out North Korea. Can you put this pit bull on the leash? Because we can't deal with North Korea. North Korea is kind of crazy. And so that I think is the logic behind President Xi visiting North Korea. Basically, it's to encourage North Korea to be more aggressive so that China can come in and be the peacemaker, okay? Because again, in the long term, Japan's gonna be a huge problem for China. There's really nothing that China can do to stop Japan's remilitarization, okay? And it's also Japan's reemergence as a leader of Southeast Asia. Barry Weiss was recently announced. So Barry Weiss is will probably become head of both CNN and CBS News. And this basically tells us that these legacy media is not relevant. They only appeal to baby boomers. And quite honestly, from the perspective of the Zionists, only baby boomers matter because they control the political system in America. Baby boomers are very supportive of Israel. They're supportive of this war in Iran. So as I said in my article, Boomer Hell, we're moving towards a world in which boomers want to maintain their worldview. They want to maintain the delusions of empire. We all have to suffer because of this. Something that that might be of interest to people is this. So the World Cup is happening, and we know the United States had this great performance against Paraguay today. But I think a story that's going to emerge in the World Cup is Iran is going to be a hero for a lot of nations during the World Cup. The American people don't appreciate how much animus, how much disgust and hatred the world has for America right now. And that's why I think that Iran is going to overperform in the World Cup. They're going to be the underdogs. They're not going to win the World Cup, obviously. But I think that their performance will shock the world. And I think that most of the world will rally behind the Iranian team over the next month. This is a meme. And again, It's not going to happen. Iran's not going to win. But I think that Trump and America will be humiliated by Iran's performance during the World Cup. Okay, so I would watch that, guys. This is my prediction for the World Cup. I'm not going to predict who's going to win because I don't know. I don't follow football, but I predict that Iran will be the Cinderella story of the World Cup. And I think that's very, 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 very likely. Okay. All right, guys. So that's it from my and let's see your comments and then I'll move on to the Substack article. Okay. All right. Okay. You know, again, I'm really sorry that if I miss your comments or questions, but there's just so much. I'm trying to do the best I can. In future streams, we'll have moderators, okay? And they'll pick up some questions for me. Okay, so Aaron says, I recently traveled to Canada and Australia. I noticed that Chinese are gaining some power and status, unlike the United States, where Chinese has only USD, but no power at all. Yeah, okay. So this is a really interesting question. So what's happening is that Canada, New Zealand, Australia, they're all resource colonies of the city of London. And they're losing value as resource colonies. So what you do in this instance is you basically strip the assets and you sell it to the highest bidder, or basically you sell to whoever will buy these stupid assets, right? Because the Canadian economy and the Australian economy are completely screwed. There's really no long-term prospect for these economies. Canada will probably absorb by the United States at some point, probably in the next 10 years. I would not be surprised if Australia becomes a resource colony for Israel. Basically, the city of London offloads Australia to Israel. The Zionists are gaining a lot of power in Australia. So basically, you know, these are failing assets. And what the city of London wants to do is sell them off to the highest bidder, whether it doesn't matter if it's Chinese or American or Israeli or Qatari, who cares, right? And that's why Chinese are getting more influence in Canada and Australia. It shows you how really screwed the Chinese economy is right now, because Chinese aren't stupid. They're business people, right? They know that these Canadian real estate, this Australian real estate are overpriced. But if it allows them to move money out of the country, right? If it allows them to engage in capital flight, they will be more than happy to buy overvalued Canadian and Australian real estate, okay? Basically, what's happening is that in order for capital to escape China, they're taking a massive discount. And often it's almost like 50% discount. But again, it's because China is a fake economy. I mean, like, no matter how bad Canada and Australia is, China is much, much worse, okay? So all the smart money, all the rich, all the wealth is trying to escape China as soon as possible. USA is where all Chinese success will be converted to US. Okay, look, if I'm a Chinese billionaire and I have $1 billion in America, I think I've made it. But listen, if you just like know any history, you know that when troubles arise, when the economy sucks, when the people are angry, they always turn against the immigrants, always. And what sort of immigrants do you think the Americans will most likely turn against? Probably rich Chinese immigrants, because they can be labeled as spies, right? So go back to World War II, when the Japanese were put into internment camps. Look, if there's ever conflict between the United States and China, the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to confiscate the assets of these rich Chinese billionaires who have American citizenship. They don't care. Americans don't care. If you have American citizenship, they don't care. They're gonna arrest you, and they're gonna confiscate your assets. Okay, I guarantee you that's gonna happen. If you're a Chinese billionaire and you've put like $10 billion in America, thinking like, hey, you know, I made it. Okay, this is my dream. My dream was to steal that money in China and then move it to America, where I can just retire and create generational wealth and have three kids and send my kids to Yale and Harvard. And a lot of them have accomplished this, right? And you think like, this is it. It's done. No, 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 no. It's just beginning. Okay. Wait 5-10 years. Wait until America is in a lot of financial trouble. They're going to come after you. Okay. These billionaires, Chinese billionaires, are in a lot of trouble. Bland asks, how would Japan and South Korea survive the next century with such low birth rates? Okay, that's a really interesting question. First of all, you need to understand that it's not just Japan and South Korea. Like all of Southeast Asia are suffering from like low birth rates. Because quite honestly, if you're a young person, Confucian society is very, very unappealing. You don't want to have children growing up in a Confucian society. You know, Jensen Huang of NVIDIA, he told a joke, which is like, you know, if you grew up in an Asian household, you will probably need therapy for the rest of your life. And it's just a joke. But the Chinese official media went bonkers on him. It just shows how sensitive people here are. China, Japan, South Korea, it's not an appealing society for young people. And that's why they refuse to have children. But the situation will change. South Korea, Japan will go to war. And when that happens, then it becomes your patriotic duty to have children. And the thing about the South Koreans and the Japanese is like, they really, really hate each other. Okay? So if they're going to go to war, they're going to fight to the bitter end. And the Japanese South Koreans are very fanatical. So I can easily imagine that if a war breaks out, then young people will start to have children, and they will die for the country. Not so much in China, but definitely in Japan and in South Korea. Don Devin asks, scarcity is a lie in manufacturing and manufacture. I don't understand this one. Sorry. Okay. Zomba asks, okay. So you're talking about being part of the community. Well, the community doesn't accept you for your skin color or your name. Okay. You're absolutely right. Okay. So so the person I was talking to, I thought was a white person who wanted to leave America, in which case, you know the culture. But, you know, if you're an immigrant like myself in Canada, you don't belong. I mean, there's no way Canadians will ever accept me. That's why I left Canada. Yeah, I mean, like, I could have become a lawyer or an accountant or a doctor in Canada. There are lots of Asians who do that, but you will never be accepted as one of them. You'll never achieve any real status in Canada. Canada is an extremely racist country, and that's why I came to China, because I wanted to be with people like me. And I'm in China, I recognize that's actually not true. I'm not Chinese in any way. Like, my mentality is very Western. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to go to a place where my ideas can be accepted. So you're absolutely right. If you're an immigrant living in Canada, or you're, like of the wrong skin color in Europe or North America, you'll never feel you belong. I mean, like I don't mean to ignore the systematic racism and persecution of ethnic minorities in these countries. I myself was a victim of that. So thank you for that. Okay, MZ asks, what spurred your interest in geopolitics, given your degree was English literature? Okay, so I've always been a very curious person. I love learning. I have tremendous interest in history, in politics, in everything, basically. And I mean, like I want to learn. And so if there are areas in which like I don't know enough, I want to go and like learn about it, because otherwise I will never feel satisfied. So the reason why I want to learn about the cult is so much of the elite are invested in the occult, right? So, you know, the Epstein files and all that. And I'm just curious as to why they'd be so heavily invested. And I think there must be some logic to these ideas, right? So I want to research, like, you know, sex magic, demonic possession, reincarnation, these ideas. I want to see how valid they are, okay? Okay, so Sharums asks, hey, you never talk about the health industry, big pharma, poison of food, and all that stuff that's making everyone sick. Well, a lot of people are talking about it. And I think it's important that people talk about it. You know, during COVID, I never really understood why people were so eager to get the vaccines. I mean, I was watching a lot of Brett Weinstein, and he was doing tremendous analysis of the situation. For the longest time, I was very interested in the food industry. There's a great documentary called Food Incorporated. Food Incorporated. It's a fantastic documentary. You must watch it, okay, to see how really screwed we are. How food right now is all mass manufactured. It's all controlled by two corporations, and the entire purpose is to make us unhealthy. So I do know a lot about it. I am interested in it. In the future, I'll make a point of talking more about it. Okay, I'm reading the comments right now. So I'm trying to get some questions. Okay. All right. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to my Substack. Okay. So a few hours before I published my Substack article on Boom or Hell. Okay. So I just want to pick out some questions. Okay. How can you live peaceful in a chaotic and insane world? Okay. The secret is just to educate yourself, right? And Harry says this: the more educated you become, the more relaxed you become, because you understand the entirety of the universe. You understand why we're here, what is happening, and where we're going. Okay, so the more educated you become, the more relaxed you become about the state of affairs. Okay, Zalma asks, you blame boomers, but isn't the real problem just that powerful people never give up power regardless of the age? This is absolutely correct. You're absolutely right. It's not fair for me to single out the boomers. Powerful people just refuse to give up power. You're absolutely right. Sean says, do you think the UK has reached a tipping point with a recent attempted beheading in Belfast? And could we see a change in government policy or civil war? I completely agree with this. I think this is a tipping point. I think that we're seeing from Belfast is that all this anger has boiled up the surface, and it's gonna be a civil war. I think it's gonna be very hard to calm people down. The economy sucks. People are angry. There are too many immigrants. It's gonna be war now. Armin says, boomers control politics because they're the biggest demographic. This is true, right? But not only are they the biggest demographic, they also have all the power. They have the status. They have all the wealth. And so the political system just bends to their will. And that's why their pensions will always be protected. That's why their medical care will always be protected. That's why they send young men to war, because they want to maintain their status. And so what can young people do about it? Immigrate, where to? Again, I hate to say this, but the best solution is to educate yourself. The best solution is to learn as much as you can about the world. because now you're taking initiative. Now you're proactive. And when you do this, okay, what's going to happen is that the universe will speak to you and offer you a path forward. Okay. I know this sounds kind of wacky, but if you really, really want to change for the better, the universe will help you change for the better. But you yourself must take the initiative. I mean, I can offer you some guidance. I can offer you some knowledge, but your heart must be focused on changing yourself for the better. Okay. And when that happens, the universe will bend to your will as well. Fatih asks, can you explain what consciousness is real wealth? Well, it's real wealth because it's the only thing we can actually know to be true, right? You know your thoughts to be true, but can you be for sure that the reality is true? Okay. I talked about this before in my lectures. Okay. But you have to believe your consciousness, your thoughts are what's true. Okay. That's what makes you who you are, your thoughts. And if someone's telling you your thoughts aren't true, that person is gaslighting you. Okay. Okay. So Weiss Law makes a great comment in that there are lots of baby boomers who are against the current system. Could a critical mass of boomers collaborating with other generations steer our global ship into calmer waters with a spark of your insights? Absolutely. If you are willing to work with other people, if you're willing to put aside your personal interests in order to promote the collective good, we can do great things together. Believe in yourself. Again, it's really important to appreciate that the solution is not clear because you have not sought out the solution. When you really focus on improving the world and you put your heart and your mind and dedicate your life to it, then you will do so. Okay? Where there's a will, there's a way. Stella asks, are all these public figures in the media, are they all CIA? How can we trust anyone? Is anything authentic? And how do you decide what to trust? Listen, you have to trust yourself, right? You cannot believe someone. You have to believe in yourself. And when you believe in yourself, then what happens next is you should listen to a variety of sources, right? Both on the left and the right. You should try to pick out a spectrum of different voices, and then you should hear their opinions. And then you ask yourself, does this make sense to me? Do I agree with this? Okay. So the best guide for truth is yourself. Again, I keep on saying this, but we come here with telos. And what's important is that we achieve our telos, our purpose, because that's what allows for our higher growth. Okay. And the only way for you to achieve your telos is to listen to your heart. Because only you yourself know what your telos is. I know what my telos is, but I don't know what your telos is. So I can't offer you concrete advice. All right. So you have to believe in yourself. You have to listen to as many different people as possible and keep an open mind. Jacob says, how do you think countries will combat the population decline? The reality is that when war starts, you're going to have this rapid population decline, right? When that happens, you're going to have much more social mobility in society. When that happens, then young people won't have children because they appreciate that by having more children, they can create better opportunities for the family. And also, the government will encourage more children in order to replenish population. Okay? DJ says, okay. Past that has some questions. Can you comment on Singapore and New Zealand's future? Yeah, I'm not optimistic about Singapore and New Zealand. I think that Singapore, it was able to position itself very strategically in an era of globalization. But is it able to be creative? Is it able to be resilient in a world of deindustrialization, of deglobalization? Okay. And I'm not that optimistic. Okay. So do you believe in aliens and that they live among us? Okay. This is what I believe. We go back to Homer and the Iliad and the Odyssey. During that period in human history, it was just common sense that there are different spirits around us, okay? And you can name these spirits as gods, but but you also had like lesser gods as well. You go to India and like you go to any community, they worship like 1,000 different gods, okay? And some of these gods were your ancestors. The earliest religion in every society, the most primitive religion is animistic shamanistic religions, where the shamans are communicating always with the spirit world. So I think that there are spirits who live amongst us, and we basically train our minds to ignore them. But once you open your consciousness, okay, like for example, if you do ayahuasca, once you do DMT, okay, once you engage in meditation, then you're able to communicate with these spiritual beings. And the reality is that these spiritual beings fall into a spectrum, okay, from demons to angels. So it's possible for you to worship any demon or angel that you want. And you know, within our consciousness is a microcosm of the universe. And that's why it's really important to focus inward and to have a deeper understanding of your own self. Because once you do that, you're able to master the inner workings of the universe, and therefore you're able to impact more people around you. Okay, so I do believe that spirits do exist, and they're all around us. And this is something that people have known for most of human history. It's just like our society, it's unique in that we are an extremely materialistic society that basically ignores anything that is not materialistic. And so we need to return to a period when we are in deeper spiritual touch with ourselves. We appreciate the complexity of our consciousness. Okay. And that's something very hard to do. Okay. Ojessa says, you're right about it being absurd that Elon Musk is so rich and oil is still under $100. Do you think it will be corrected? No, I don't think any of this will be corrected. I think that we're heading towards financial collapse. I think that if you put any money in the stock market, you'll probably lose it. I think it's entirely rigged game. I think the period of like you trying to get rich, it's over. I think that what matters now is being in touch with your consciousness, be trying to create community around you, and seeking personal evolution, spiritual awakening, spiritual transformation. Joyce asks, what are your thoughts on Mamdani in New York City? I think that given his track record, because he's been very impressive as a mayor, in New York City. I think he could potentially be a Democratic front runner. I think he could possibly be in like, you know, 4 years' time, be the Democratic nominee for president. The real test is when ICE arrives in New York City. Right, because Donald Trump is going to send ICE to New York City at some point to round up these illegal immigrants, and it'll be interesting to see how Madonna deals with that. Okay, but Madonna has been very impressive in New York so far. Patrick asks, what do you think North Korea will do? I think North Korea will create as much chaos as possible because they have absolutely nothing to lose, right? What do I think of firms like APCO and Edelman and Brunswick and Tineo? To what extent do you see these actors as independent influencers? I mean, this is a really important question. I don't know the specifics of these corporations, but I imagine that what they're really doing is they're trying to infiltrate the elite and they're trying to provide services that further the interests of their corporate clients. Okay, so basically, if you're APCO, what's your job? Well, if you're in Beijing, your job is to meet as many powerful officials as possible and then help these powerful officials launder their money over to America, get their children into Yale and Harvard, and have them set up residences in the United States and get jobs. And quite honestly, this is what Jeffrey Epstein was doing, right? Like that's how you exert influence around the world. You do favors for these powerful officials who then do favors for your corporate clients, right? And this is how the world works. And this is why most of the world is run out of the United States. The United States has done a tremendous job in infiltrating the world. And right now, there are maybe four nations that the United States has not completely infiltrated and co-opted. They are Russia, Iran, China, and North Korea. And the United States wants to destroy all four. John Zach says, this administration is planning on staying for a long time and the Dems are not really making a move to stop that. Yeah, I mean, like, if you look at what Trump is doing, building the ballroom, having his family steal billions of dollars, engaging in insider trading, do you really, really think a guy like that is going to leave office? I mean, because the moment he leaves office, they're going to throw him and his entire family in prison for the rest of their lives, right? There's going to be a massive purge if Trump ever leaves office. So it's almost like he can never leave office now. He can only die in office because once he leaves office, Democrats are going to do a witch hunt on him. Okay, I mean, like, this is just the reality that we live in. Trump's going to be there for a long, long time. I think he's going to get a third term. Sorry about this. Julian asked, what would Donnie say to this? And see you on Monday in class. Yeah, so Julian is part of the Donnie seminar. So what would Donnie say to what's happening in the world? And what Donnie would say is pity the boomers because ultimately they've built a hell for themselves, okay? So basically the boomers want to rule forever, and so they've created a hell for everyone, but they themselves have to live in this hell as well. And quite honestly, there's something more in this hell than everyone else. So it's a great irony. Katana asks, will Trump come to peace deal with Iran? Peace is no longer possible. Peace is not possible. All right, so guys, I am just exhausted right now. I know there are lots of questions. And I'm really sorry I did not get to every one of them. But it's like 10:30 in the evening in Beijing. And I've been up since 6 o'clock in the morning because of my three kids. So I am just exhausted. So thank you so much for participating in this live stream. There are now 584 of you on this live stream. So thank you so much for being here. I promise you that we'll get better next time. I will try to find moderators to figure out questions and to have much more in-depth discussion, okay? But I will see you guys next month. Something else I will say is that now that I've left the school, I'm able to focus more on my Substack. And so what will happen is that in the future, we'll have emergency live streams where if there's a major breaking news. Okay, so for example, the war in Iran was obviously a breaking news, but also the Charlie Kirk assassination was also breaking news. If there's a major event that's going to change how events will unfold, I will organize an emergency live stream. It'd be great if you can join us, but if you can't join us, I understand. Also, I know that this is a global audience and the times don't really work for a lot of people. And I'm going to change the times as much as possible in order to accommodate different audiences. So thank you so much for your patience. So thank you so much for being on this first live stream. You guys were great. And I hope that we're able to make it a better experience for you next time. Okay. So thanks a lot, guys. And I will see you next month.